declare or start, call the meeting to order. That's what I intend to do, call it to order, I guess. ABLE CLA will note the roll, and we have minutes from the last meeting. If one of us would like to move those minutes, we'll discuss them.
So moved.
Representative Biskins moves the minutes. Further discussion, corrections? They looked fine to me. Seeing none, let's vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you for adopting the minutes, members. We're going to continue today with the with MnDOT's budget presentation. Some of you and members, I just want to make the point. These three-ring binders that staff put together for us, if you'd like to leave them with your committee folder, we'll see that they get put with your folder. You're welcome to take them home for a little late reading also. If you feel so inclined, Representative Champion, are you lost one? We'll get you one here in a second. Mr. Peterson, welcome to the committee. If you would like to introduce your testifiers today and begin with your presentation, we'd appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Scott Peterson from MnDOT. And today we're going to continue our budget presentation. Mm-hmm. And first up to talk about the state aid for local transportation funding is Rick Jonas, the assistant director of our state aid for local transportation division. And he'll be followed by Mike Barnes from our operations division, who will talk about program planning and delivery, operations and maintenance. And then Mark Giesecke to talk about electronic communications. And Tim Henkel from modal planning and program management division, assuming we have ample time, and I understand, Mr. Chairman, that we're scheduled to come back on Wednesday and finish up what we don't get in today. Is that correct?
Correct, yes. We'll be back Wednesday. So, members, if you have questions, if you can at least wait, or I will watch for your indication that you have a question, wait for the testifier to come up for air, and we'll interrupt them at that point. I think as this goes along, it probably work best that way, that we stay engaged as the presentation is proceeding, if that's okay with you, gentlemen. Great. Well, thank you. Mr. Jonas or Mr. Peterson, either one.
Sure. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Rick Jonas, and I'm Deputy Director of State Aid for Local Transportation, Highways and Bridges. Mm-hmm. And today I'd like to take you through our budget. Page 63 in your booklet there is the document that I'll be kind of walking you through using the slides to emphasize some of the important information from the budget narrative. State aid for local transportation encompasses county roads, county state aid highways, and it also has municipal state aid street systems, and they're separate. As presented earlier in the budget, there the state money that goes to fund highways in Minnesota is distributed 62-29-9 between the trunk highway and the counties and the cities. And so today I'm talking about the 29% for counties and the 9% for the cities as two separate, very similarly administered programs. So the county state aid activity description distributes money, this money, between the individual counties according to a formula prescribed in the law, actually a couple of formulas described in the law by the Commissioner of Transportation and a screening board consisting of county engineers. And with that money, there are 30,546 miles of county state aid highway throughout the state in the 87 counties. With this money, they select their own construction projects, and they perform maintenance activities within their jurisdictions. The county state aid highway system is continuing to age by our measurement, and the miles of highway in poor condition, as determined by age, is increased more than 70 miles since the last biennial narrative presentation. The slide that you're looking at there also shows our activities. And you'll see that those activities involve a lot of our office doing administration and assisting of the local agencies in their programs. And those words are carefully chosen because that is what we do. The counties do self-govern their program. The screening board determines a lot of the money apportionment between themselves. The county has standards committees and rules committees that they adopt the standards and the rules, and our job is to work and facilitate that process. The services provided there on the side, just to provide a little definition to those services, county state aid administration, we keep track of the relative condition and cost of the roads, what it would take to make the roads be in a more adequate condition for the today's traffic, both in volume and weight. We also help provide access to accident records, payment services, technical and financial advice, we also provide the counties with guidance in establishing their own state aid system and modifications to it to move the goods and people within their county and throughout the region when necessary. We provide support and oversight for the local bridge replacement program, although that program is not specifically addressed in this budget because it's part of a separate program and funded through general fund bonds when it's funded. The state aid investment services pertain to the actual money that the county's construction, maintenance, and project delivery costs that we pass through for their use. Likewise, the federal local aid services are the money from the Federal Transportation Act that are available to counties and cities throughout there. The state aid office acts as the agent for the federal government and for the local agencies in the administration of the program and fulfills the state's obligation for federal oversight of all the federal aid projects. We do provide assistance to the local agencies in fulfilling all of the federal aid requirements with their projects.
Mr. Jonas,
Mr. Chair.
A teaching moment for the new folks here. Just to be clear, members, you may see in a general fund bonding bill a chunk for local roads and local bridges. That is not necessarily part of the county state aid formula. But to be clear, MnDOT does apply the technical criteria that helps rank the projects that might be coming in from around the state that don't fall under what we call the CASA or the municipal formula. I just want folks to understand that that is a separate packet of money, I suppose you could say, that comes from general fund money. But MnDOT does help rank the projects so that they just don't run willy-nilly all over the state. There actually is some rhyme and reason to how that money is allocated, correct?
Correct, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Representative Hausman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to that point, I know we frequently hear that transit corridors are subsidized. And I would draw the same distinction. In a sense, we're saying local roads and bridges can't totally be funded by the gas tax and MVEST. We subsidize local roads and bridges with geo-bonding as well because the current revenue source would not be sufficient. Would that be correct?
Ms. Jonas?
Mr. Chair, Representative, that is certainly true in the case of the highways that I'm familiar with, and I think your point is well taken.
Mr. Jonas, before I ask my question, Ron LePage, do us a favor. Close those inside doors, if you would, please. Thanks. I appreciate it. What extent, then, do local property taxes build local streets and roads, and where do they fit into this the bonding request that we might see in a general obligation bond?
The local property taxes, those are local dollars, and they are budgeted at the local level. They're not reflected on anything that I'm presenting to you here today. The money doesn't run through here. In the lower right-hand corner of the slide, the appropriations that we show there, simplifying those numbers a little bit, the direct appropriation, those are the state aid dollars that come to us and we distribute back to the counties and cities, and the statutory dollars, for simplification again, are the federal aid dollars. Most of those federal aid dollars do require a match. Back on the state aid system, the counties will tell you when they have an opportunity to that those state aid dollars do not take care of their system, and they do need to levy property tax dollars. Now, we don't require any specific match on state aid projects like we do on federal aid projects, but we definitely see counties doing more state aid work than the state aid dollars we provide for them, and that's even true in the maintenance area. and that varies by county, depending on their ability and their desire to do local effort and the importance of their road system to the area residents that those decisions are made. But I would say it's safe to believe all counties and all cities put some property tax money into the system, some substantial amount.
Well, certainly I know ours does. And you know, we're grateful for every CASA dollar we get and municipal dollar, but sort of one of the core functions of our county government is farm-to-market roads. I think we were seen as partners with the state in making sure farm-to-market roads, all-weather hard surface roads, were one of the core functions of government that we've elected to do and fund through our property taxes. So I'm glad Representative Hausmer brought it up, because we'll be discussing this more and more as we move forward on what exactly constitutes core function and what constitutes subsidy for things we would like to do but haven't historically been seen as a fundamental government or necessity, I suppose you could say. One last to touch on this, where we do general fund GO bonding for local roads and bridges, are they oftentimes those local roads and streets that aren't on the county or municipal system?
Mr. Chair.
Or doesn't it make any difference?
The use of the general fund bonds, of course, the premier program is the local bridge replacement program, and any local bridge is eligible to be in that program.
Okay.
We've reached an era right now where the number of deficient bridges is at an all-time high, and the work that we need to do needs to be prioritized. We are finding more and more of the bridge bonding being spent less on the township roads and more on the county and city roads, and trying to select bridges with particular risks and working with the locals to make good decisions on that. That's a general statement. So it could be either the county road system or a county state aid system. In fact, sometimes we're more generous on the bridges on the local systems, because that is all property tax otherwise, whereas on the state aid system they have access to state aid dollars to provide the match. So it's kind of a case by case. We work with the locals very closely in making the best possible use of those bridge bonds. And the same can be said of the road program.
Thank you. Thank you, members, for your questions. Mr. Jonas, go ahead.
Just to briefly continue on page 63, then, before I turn the page, just to mention that there are some miscellaneous funds that our office administers, and that would be the State Park Road Account and the Town Road Account and the Town Bridge Account, and that's mentioned at the bottom of page 63. Moving on to page 64, then, in the next slide. As we've been talking about, assist the counties in using their dollars on priority projects in their areas. But there's increasing pressure to use the available dollars on preservation-type projects rather than long-term improvements because of the need to preserve what exists. So we work with them to provide assistance on the best type of what best practices are for preservation projects and how to make this transition in the new needs of the public. The products and services that we administer are monitored primarily based upon customer satisfaction. We know that the funds administered in our program are not sufficient to meet the needs of the state aid system, and the wants of the local governments as reflected in their efforts to find new funding sources outside this program, and they are often approaching the legislature here to ask for assistance through general fund bonds in both the local road and program and local bridge programs, as we've been just talking about here. The needs of our customers, the counties, include a desire for a smooth, uninterrupted trip with no delays. The expectation is that the system should not deteriorate from the present condition, that their investments should be made at or above the rate of deterioration. To keep the system from deteriorating, 610 miles should be rebuilt every year, and that's based on dividing the miles of road divided by 50, just to get a feel for that age rate deterioration. And at the present time, the records indicate that they're rebuilding about 200 miles, so that's where we are saying that the system is aging. And finally, looking at the slide there, the 2% of the money that we receive from the state Highway User Tax Distribution Fund is set aside by statute for our operating funds, and that's reflected in the pie chart and in the other thing. There, 98% of the money is passed through in local assistance, and 2% is kept back for salaries and programs and projects and best practices manuals that we develop for them as other operating experiences just showing. So we do pass through by far the greatest share. And the bond programs and the federal aid programs that we administer, there is no administration costs for those. They're handled through this budget here for our office staff. Moving to page 67 and talking about the municipal state aid account, looking at the other slide, I'll go through this quicker if it's okay with you, Mr. Chair, because it's very, very similar. We have 147 cities now. We have 3,561 miles of street that is on the system. The overall condition actually for the cities has improved slightly according to the aging criteria on the miles that we're tracking. The activities are, again, very similar, and we work with the cities separately, usually separately, sometimes together with the counties, but we administer and we oversee and we supervise. We do not make their decisions for them about how they spend their monies. And the services provided with the federal aid and the state aid dollars, very similar to how we work with them on the county dollars. That would be the information there. You can see that they receive some federal dollars, but they receive a lot fewer federal dollars than the counties do. And that's, again, handled through local area transportation projects or MPOs that make those decisions throughout the state. So then to the next slide. As far as the roads in poor condition, city should be rebuilding their roads 87 miles per year. They're currently rebuilding 50 miles per year. They did see a slight improvement to their system in the good category, but they also saw an increase of miles in the poor category too. And so that's causing a little bit of confusion here in the way this is worded and the way the numbers actually worked out. We are working with both the counties and the cities to do more like what MnDOT does and see if we can't get them to report to us as opposed to just simply the age of their system, how well that the system is performing in relation to the needs, both structurally, condition, average maintenance costs, and that type of information that would perhaps be more meaningful than trying to use these age calculations, which are an approximation at best, but they do indicate that the effort is not keeping up at the same rate as they were 50 years ago as miles of road constructed. The activities that we do are similar. The 2% retainage is similar. The pie chart and the dollars indicate the 2% that we retain for either doing programs or helping them with their assistance and passing through 98% of the money directly to them as directed by their screening boards. In addition to the miscellaneous funds I mentioned earlier, the flexible account is also run through our office, and that is where the town road and the town bridge are. That is also the account that handles the turnback program, and we work to make sure that program works successfully throughout the state too. Mr. Chair, that completes my planned overview.
Questions for Mr. Jonas on this part, members? Thank you. Mr. Jonas, Mr. Peterson, who do we have next?
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, next we have Mike Barnes, who's the director of our operations division.
Mr. Barnes, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, committee members, thanks for the opportunity to be here this afternoon. I'm Mike Barnes, the director of MnDOT's Operations Division. I'm here today to cover the portion of the State Roads Program budget. I'll reference the budget narrative that you have throughout the presentation So if you want to, for tracking, is it starts on page 35 for the program description with the overall budget on 36.
Okay.
The purpose of the state roads program is to oversee all the aspects of the road system that are owned and maintained by MnDOT. It covers the trunk highway system, and it also has other assets like the rest area, the trail, and park and rides. The responsibilities that are included in this area include the planning, the design, the right-of-way, construction, maintenance, operations of the road system. It includes things like the shoulders, drainage, bridges, signals, and so on. So it covers kind of the entire right-of-way area, but also includes the integration of bikes, peds, and other modes into our planning process. So this program accounts for about $2.7 billion of the budget and is responsible for about 30,000 lane miles of the trunk highway system and about 4,300 of the FTEs.
Mr. Barnes?
Yes.
So 30,000 lane miles equals about how many route miles, roughly?
Well, Mr. Chair, it's 12,000 centerline miles, but you're asking about the route for truck route?
Well, I'm sure that a four-lane highway is probably four times your route mile, so I'm just looking for the route miles, not necessarily lanes. And just to be clear, the $2.7 billion, is that Minnesota money? Does that include the federal portion of what we anticipate from a Surface Transportation Act?
Mr. Chair, it's the full amount for ours and federal amount.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chair, then the budget activities that are in here are five of them listed there. With I'll be covering the program planning, the delivery, and operations and maintenance, and Mr. Peterson covered the other two will be. So, go on to the next slide here. All right, I'll start with this first budget activity of the program planning and delivery. As you can see from the activities at a glance, that we had about $1.55 billion in construction. That was in 2008-09. This equated to about 837,000 construction projects that were let. And this is an increased size than we normally would have because of the Chapter 152 and our funding. The services that are provided within this area, they're shown on page 38. And I'll cover each one just briefly so you get a better deal with it. The statewide system planning integration service provides that short and long range planning and policy making. So this is where we have our 20-year statewide transportation plan, the 10-year highway investment plan, which is the HIP, and corridor plans and other types of plans like bike plans. It also provides for the MnDOT research program so we can advance new tools and techniques and best practices. It also has the State Road Construction Program Management Service. And this is where we direct the development and implementation of the State Road Construction Program. This and the federal programming too, as you mentioned. This has our four-year State Transportation Improvement Program, or our STIP, and the Area Transportation Improvement Programs. And it's also where we provide for the program financing, the tracking, and reporting also. The last service in this area is the Construction Project Delivery Program Service. And this is the one that has activities that we do before the construction begins, such as the scoping, construction limits, environmental documents right away, and the design and plan delivery up to the letting. The construction project management portion of this one is where we do the field inspections, the testing, and the construction documentation and paying of the contractors. So overall, what the main goal of this activity is to be able to deliver the right size projects on time, on budget, and with the right quality. And in your documents on pages 38 to 39, there's some examples of some of the measures that we use so we can track this area, such as the percent of construction projects let on schedule, the percent of projects that are completed with scoping documents, and then our average right-of-way time, and then also like a project cost variance. Mm-hmm. So with this one, the activity has a budget of $414 million for the biennium of direct appropriations, with $35 million of statutory, for a total of $449 million for the biennium. All right, this slide here shows the pie chart for the categories, where total compensation is $311 million. Other expenses are $130 million, with a capital outlay of $6 million and local assistance of $2 million. So it adds up to be the same biennium total of $449 million. I'll now cover the second budget activity of the operations maintenance, which is on page 42. This activity is the one that maintains, operates, and preserves the trunk highway and interstate system. And so it has the roads, the bridges, the roadsides, our safety equipment, traffic control, and our traffic management devices. As you can just see from this activities at a glance, there's a lot of key assets that that we maintain, and I wasn't planning to go through each of those in the plans. Next slide. So the highlight then, the maintenance service, what's covered in this area, the maintenance service part is clear roads. This is the one that's probably the most visible and for folks is the clearing of the snow and ice and also debris from the roadway. And then we set targets that are based on the customer's expectations. For example, on our highest level service roads, we get the bare lanes within 3 hours after an event is what our target is. The smooth roads are the areas where we do the patching, paving, and shoulder repair type activities so we can provide a smooth ride. And then what we do is we use a surface rideability measure that we do annually so we can continue to measure where we're at with that. On the roadsides, this includes the brush and the tree removal, and that's for safety and visibility. And we also have to do mowing and spraying for noxious weeds, which is legally mandated. In the bridge area, we have this includes the inspecting, the maintaining, and repairing of the bridges so we keep them safe and in service. And the building management side is that operating and maintaining of all the buildings that are owned by MnDOT. And then the rest area management is that general maintenance operations and janitorial service for our rest areas. On the operations service side, we have the traffic management, and this is where it covers the signing, the lighting, striping, signal systems, guardrail. It also covers our regional transportation management center, otherwise the RTMC, that helps us manage operations. And for also, this covers our traveler information area. In the regulation side, this is where we cover our permits, the controlling of the work by contractors that are within our right-of-way, and it also identifies those safe routes for wide or overweight loads. And last in there is the fleet management. There's still more yet. Fleet management covers the acquiring, maintaining of our fleet, and also provides for the fuel and insurance for those same vehicles. And then the last one is the inventory control, where it covers our purchasing, warehousing, and issuing of materials, but also our hazardous waste coordination. And on pages 44 to 47, it shows some of those measures that we have for the activities, such as some safety measures, mobility, what we do for the clear roads that I had mentioned, smooth roads, the ride, annual ride that I mentioned, and then some bridges, some areas that we have for measures. So with this one, then the direct appropriation is approximately $515 million of direct, $25 million of statutory, for a total of about $540 million for the biennial. So here, this one shows it's the pie chart of the categories, and so it shows the total compensation of $313 million, the other operating expenses of $227 million, which much of that is being the salt, sand, fuel, bituminous type area, and then for the same total then for the biennium of the $540 million.
Mr. Barnes, I'm going to ask staff to just, because we've got so many new members, I can see it on some of your faces, talk about a direct appropriation and a statutory appropriation. Maybe Ms. Ewers or Mr. Burris can take just a moment to give us the quick explanation of what that means before we move ahead, in the interest of keeping us all on the same page. Or Mr. Burris, either one.
Mr. Chair and members, a direct appropriation is an appropriation that we make every 2 years. You'll see it in the upcoming bill. A statutory appropriation is one that is in statute, and we don't have to renew that appropriation every couple of years. So an example of this is the motor vehicle sales tax. for transit and for roads. On the transit side, it is a statutory appropriation. On the road side, the money goes into the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund, and then we make direct appropriations in our bill.
Okay. Does that clear up a little bit of the fog I was seeing? Thank you. Thanks for letting me break into your presentation a moment there just to have that explained, Mr. Barnes. Go ahead. What page are we on again here?
All right.
13. Okay.
The last slide that I'll be covering here is one here on the EBE. As the deputy had referenced in the last presentation, we're going to have a change item related to this DBE collaborative efforts. And the purpose from the efforts is to kind of remedy those past and even some of the present discrimination that's in our Minnesota highway industry. And so there is actually proposed legislation going through for the targeted group business program. And this change item here is a proposal to increase $130,000 into the program and planning appropriation for each year to add two staff to that program for the startup and to get that program established. So with that, Mr. Chair, that ends my portion, and I can address any questions that I can here.
Questions, Representative Szymanski?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Barnes, maybe you can just clarify for me, back on slide number 10, 2,895 traffic management systems. Is this counting electronic surveillance as well as signal lights, or what's in that total?
Mr. Barnes? Could you, Representative Szymanski, can you repeat that? I was trying
sure,
to...
Sure, on page, slide number
Ron,
10.
Ron, oh, you do have it up
there. We show the bullet point there, the second from the top on the left side, 2,895 traffic management systems. Could you just kind of describe what those systems are? Are they signal lights or observation posts?
Mr. Chairman,
sir,
Representative, for the record, my name is Stephen Lund. I'm the state maintenance engineer.
Mr. Lund.
That's a pretty specific number, and that is very comprehensive of loop detectors, signals, anything that detects any kind of traffic movement or traffic patterns. So that is, I'm sure it includes the item you described.
Good. Further questions? Well, thank you, Mr. Lund, for that, and Mr. Barnes, for your presentation. Mr. Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next up is Mark Giesecke. He's the director of our Office of Electronic Communications. He'll present the budget information related to that activity.
Thank you, Mr. Giesecke. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Again, my name is Mark Giesecke. I'm the director of Electronic Communications at MnDOT, and I'll be presenting the electronic communications budget item. Of the activities that we perform in our office, the most important one is the construction operations and maintenance of the public safety radio system for the state of Minnesota, which we call ARMOR. ARMOR is well into deployment at this time. About 60% of the planned towers are already in existence and on the air, which accounts for about 75% of the geographic area of the state being covered by the ARMOR system. The goal is to have 95% mobile coverage in each county of the state by the end of 2012. Other activities that we perform include the system planning and implementation, which is also currently focused heavily on ARMOR. We're focused on acquiring, designing, and constructing up to 50 towers per year from now until the time the project is complete. We also perform infrastructure maintenance on the ARMOR backbone, as well as on the mobile and portable radios that are used by MnDOT, Department of Public Safety, and a number of the other state agencies. And in addition to radio equipment, we also perform maintenance on other kinds of miscellaneous wireless electronic communications equipment, such as the mobile data computer systems that are used by the State Patrol and other equipment. Next screen, this is the list of the products and services that are included in our budget item, electronic communications investment and planning, which is our construction design planning functions. Electronic communications management, which is operations and maintenance, External system support, which is services that we provide to other agencies besides MnDOT, and then electronic communications administration, which is the system management and office management functions. At the bottom of the slide, you'll see our direct appropriations of a little over $10 million per biennium. That's almost entirely trunk highway funds. Together with our statutory appropriations, totals to $28 million approximately. That $28 million does not include about $10 million per biennium that's transferred to us from the Department of Public Safety, which if we move ahead to the next screen, we'll explain why our expenditures add up to $38 million while our appropriations are $28 million. This screen does include that transfer. Our other operating expenses are about $25 million, total salary compensation $13 million for a total of $38 million for the electronic communications function. And on the last screen here, we do have one change item request. It is not from the Trunk Highway Fund. It is from the 911 fund that is managed by the Department of Public Safety. They are carrying that request forward in their budget. But just for your information, we've put it in here just to let you know that this is of critical importance to our ability to perform the activities that we just listed earlier in operating and maintaining armor. The increase is for operations and maintenance for the armor backbone. It's $3.24 million in fiscal year 12, $3.59 million in fiscal year 13, for a total of $6.83 million, again, coming from the 911 special revenue account managed by the Department of Public Safety. The reason for the increase is quite simply just to operate and maintain the increased infrastructure size. Armor will build about 200 additional towers. We've got about 100 left to go. So this amount will cover the amount of infrastructure that we expect to build this year and next year and the year after. So that's the end of my presentation.
Thank you. Representative Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We believe we had testimony last week that the system was built up even more than it was, and I can't remember who testified. But I brought up some questions regarding southeast Minnesota and the hills and the additional towers needed. Is that part of the armor system? I get my acronyms a little mixed up after so much testimony, but my perception, at least out there, is there has been some complaints about the system because of the terrain in some areas of the state, and I wondered if whether or not this additional funds that you've shown here is to accommodate some additional build-out because of those problems.
Mr. Giesky.
Mr. Chair, the increase that we're requesting is strictly for operations and maintenance, not necessarily for increasing the size of the infrastructure. Southeastern part of the state is essentially built out, although there's still a small number of towers to be added, which may account for some of the coverage issues.
Follow up, Representative Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So these are operational additions to the operational budget. Do we see that as something that will be an ongoing request? I mean, when we looked at the system in the beginning, did we have maybe missed the projections of what the operational cost of the system were going to be?
No.
What percent increase would this be? I'm sorry.
Mr. Geiske.
Mr. Chair, original, when the project was originally conceived, there was an amount set aside for operations and maintenance with the understanding that because the project would take several years to build, that there would be a need to be incremental step increases in the amount for operations and maintenance. This number here of $3.59 million in fiscal year 13 is seen as the ultimate number. That's the number that which we would be able to maintain it at in the future.
Follow-up, Representative Benson.
So what is the total budget for operating purposes for the system?
Mr. Giesky.
Mr. Chair, the total is something about $11 million when it's completely built out. Right now we're in an intermediate phase, so we're not at that number, but that's the estimate for when the system is completed.
Biennial number or annual number?
Annual.
$11 million annual is what you're thinking? Follow up?
So this would be about a 30-40% increase from what, as far as an increase from the previous biennium annually. if your expected is going to be, that's a sizable jump. So when we originally projected this, we kind of missed how much this operating budget could be.
If you can speak to that, Mr. Giesecke.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative. Yeah, the original appropriation had a level of about $3 million per year with an increase to $5 million per year, which is where we're at now. There was then no provision made for what would happen beyond that. And so this is approximately the same amount increase per phase. So it wasn't included in the statute, but it was planned for.
Okay. Representative Schmancy, before I go to you, Ms. Zewers had a comment on the funding or for this project, whatever it was there.
Mr. Chair and members, just one note on the armor maintenance and operations is that this activity is funded through the Public Safety Committee in their omnibus bill. They deal with the 911 fund, and then so the money is appropriated to the Department of Public Safety and then transferred to MnDOT to do the work. So when we see the omnibus bill for this committee, you won't see this change item passing through our committee. It'll be on the public safety side.
Thank you, Ms. Stewart. And maybe while I have you here, I noticed that in the construction portion of this, this is the 800 megahertz plan, right? We call it armor now, just to remember that discussion. I noticed we're appropriating trunk highway funds to build this out. The operating funds that are come to operate it once it's built, are those going to be 911 special revenue funds, or is there going to be continue to be a contribution from the trunk highway fund to operate and maintain the system? Either one of you. Mr. Giesecke, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, the system is being built out with revenues from bonds that are supported by the 911 special revenue account. The operations and maintenance is split between the trunk highway appropriation and the 911 fund appropriation, and at the ultimate $11 million per year, it's about an 80-20 split, and the 20%, the 80% 911 fund, 20% trunk highway, and that 20% from the trunk highway fund is approximately what the historical contribution was towards the legacy system that Armor replaced.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I thought I saw in the construction portion that there were trunk highway funds in the build out as well. Did I misread that? I must have. I must have misread that.
Yeah, not currently. I mean, in the past, money was spent on towers, but none currently.
That's helpful for the committee. No, Representative Schmancy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Ms. Zewers and Mr. Giesecke kind of answered my question already, referring to the 911 special revenue account. Apparently that's a public safety account and doesn't have any correlation with our committee here.
Yes, thank you. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I thought I heard you say, when you were talking about the armor system, when it's in 2012, you'll have it 95% coverage. Is there going to are we going to be able to go beyond the 95% coverage, or are there areas of the state that won't be covered in the future?
Mr. Chair, Representative, 95% is the design level that they shoot for. It's 95% of the geographic area of a single county with a mobile radio. Actual experience is that they usually have better coverage than that, but from a design perspective, 95% is about the ultimate that you can design for without it becoming prohibitively expensive.
Follow up, Representative Nelson.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, so we're not leaving out part of the state. So is there just, okay, that answers my question.
Thank you, Representative Eakin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Geiske. I was wondering about those counties in my area up in the Northwest. I understand there's a number of counties that have invested heavily in another system, the VHF system. Would that be correct? They haven't had it that long. There was a question that was asked about making that compatible with the armor system and whether funding would be available for making it compatible. You don't want to throw out a whole new system that you just put in. So I was wondering if some of these funds from the special revenue fund or other funds for both, I guess, putting in and operating and maintaining that equipment would be available for those purposes, or is it just for the armor?
Mr. Kiske.
Mr. Chair, Representative, the money that's being appropriated to my office only goes to operate and maintain the armor system. However, a part of the armor system is an interoperability system that will allow armor users to talk to agencies that remain on BHF and vice versa, so they'll have at least some measure of interoperability without needing to migrate to armor.
Okay. Thanks.
Members, further questions? I just have one last one. On page 50 of the narrative here, I'm noticing that we're going to acquire and operate these sites, and there's up to 17 repair facilities. Somebody's going to have to be taking care of the transmitters and so on. Are we going to be creating a whole new desk or office within MnDOT to do this, or are we just going to have somebody managing contractors that will be responsible for taking care of these, since they'll be spread so far and wide?
Mr. Chair, the
have we made that determination?
Maintenance yet? Organization already exists within MnDOT.
Okay.
And those shops that are mentioned there have existed and exist today.
Outstanding. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Peterson, further questions, comments? Mr. Peterson, thank you for your testimony, Mr. And am I saying it correct, Gieske?
Gieske, yes.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Next we have Tim Hinkle. He's the director of our Planning and Program Management Division. He will talk about state road construction and debt service, I believe.
Mr. Hinkle, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Tim Hinkle. I am the director of MnDOT's office or division of modal planning and program management. To finalize MnDOT's budget presentation, I will go to page 57 of your budget handouts to discuss next the state road construction activity. As you can see, looking at the state road construction description, this particular activity provides appropriations for state road construction, reconstruction, and improvements, as well as funding for right-of-way acquisitions and consulting needs for assistance in delivering the road construction, reconstruction, and improvement program. The appropriations that are being recommended by the governor for 2012 and 2013 are summarized on later on in your document on page 60 and summarized on the PowerPoint slide. You can see that there is variation between fiscal years 2012 and 13, and I'll talk about that in a second as a change request by the governor. In total, the request is for appropriations in the amount of $1,336,000 in direct appropriations and $80 million in statutory appropriations, for a total of $1.416 million over the biennium. The statutory appropriation recommendation covers those shared local construction activities where local governments can provide resources to a MnDOT-led trunk highway project, and so that the overall budget authority is there to cover the revenue associated with the overall program that the department is delivering. Your next slide simply summarizes that overall appropriation recommendation. You can see that the majority of the appropriation being recommended goes to the capital outlay and the real property acquisition. There is a small amount accounted for in this recommendation for some other operating expenses, which can include consulting needs associated with the delivery of that program. The first change level request associated with the state road construction activity is an increase to the state road construction appropriation to adjust for the spending levels that are necessary in the two fiscal years. As you are well aware, the department does make adjustments in its program, and two adjustments are being made in fiscal years 12 and 13 to accommodate two major projects associated with the Chapter 152 program. Those projects are the Cayuga Bridge on 35E in St. Paul, as well as the Dresbach Bridge which is on Interstate 90 just south of Winona. Because of the expenditures that will be required and the revenue necessary in the various fiscal years, the change level request is for the Trunk Highway Fund to be appropriated at $146 million change, decreasing by $80 million then in fiscal year 13 for a $66 million increase for the biennium. Overall, we are seeing a slight increase in federal funds coming to this overall construction program. So even though there are adjustments for the spending in the various fiscal years, this also accounts for a very small increase in the federal funds in that program time frame. One other change request by the governor is to increase the design and construction engineering appropriation by $865,000 in fiscal year 2012 and $680,000 in fiscal year 13. This is for the purposes of our state planning and research program. Federal funds that are coming to the state have increased in this category as well, and this change level request will allow for spending in those respective fiscal years for purposes of additional improved traffic data collection efforts, as well as traffic monitoring and weight and motion data collection efforts on the trunk highway system. And so there is a total change level proposed of $1.545 million increase for the biennium, which does reflect those that higher level of federal funds from Safety Lou for the state planning and research. And this is based on our estimates currently for federal fiscal year 2009 going into these federal fiscal years. Now I may move to page 54 of your budget reports to talk about another activity, which is the debt service activity. This is the activity that provides for the required annual payment of principal and interest to the State Debt Service Fund from the Trunk Highway Fund for bond payments. Payments to the Transportation Revolving Loan Fund for loan agreements, as well as the potential repayment for advances from local government agreements. The goals for the transportation system are established currently in the state's strategic plan, as well as Minnesota's state transportation policy plan. And as you can see listed on this PowerPoint slide, our current debt service policy, which calls for MnDOT's debt service, that trunk highway debt service cost, to not exceed 20% of the trunk highway state revenues. And MnDOT intends to work to stay within that guideline, and as you'll see in a minute, this budget recommendation stays below that. I just wanted to recap for you so you can see currently on this slide as well is a summary of all of those bond programs that have been authorized. Total current authorization is $2.479 billion. And of that $2.479 billion, nearly a billion has been issued with approximately 1.5 to be issued. Next slide. This slide simply covers the overall recommendation of transfers of 238 recommended for the 2012 and 2013 spending period, with other financial transactions in the amount of $28 million for a grand total recommendation of $266 million. Please note that the transfers, again, are the principal and interest. The other financial transactions are associated with the Transportation Revolving Loan Fund and those annual payments that are necessary to continue that revolving loan fund for those programs that fund that particular need. Again, MnDOT's policy is to stay under the 20% bar. As you can see with this spending recommendation, through the year even through the year 2015, MnDOT will stay well be under the bar associated with that debt policy.
Mr. Hankel, to be clear, this map chart on page 24, we indicated just previously that there's about $2.4 billion that have been authorized. Is that what we're seeing here, or are we just seeing what we've actually issued to this point on the chart on page 24?
Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Schenkel.
You're seeing what has actually been issued.
Okay.
And what we expect to be issued through the year 2015.
That would be the balance of that 2.4 something billion.
Mr. Chairman, I believe there will be
an additional? Okay.
Issuance beyond 2015. If I recall, Chapter 152 in particular allowed, even after amendment last session or before, through the year 2016.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that concludes our budget presentation. I'll hand it back to Mr. Peterson and to you for any questions.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Hankel? Representative Shemansky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for being late today.
Oh, I don't mind that. It was your telephone ringing that I was going to razz you about, but that's okay.
All right. It's turned off now. Sorry about that, too. Mr. Hankel, on right-of-way acquisition, when the contact is made with property owners, is that done by MnDOT personnel, or are you hiring contractors to acquire right-of-way for the agency?
Mr. Hankel, you want to find someone to speak to that? I know we've kind of employed both in the past, depending on the intensity of the project, I believe, but let's have someone else speak to that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mike Barnes here again. Yes, from the acquisition side, we have been doing contracts for people to go out and do appraisals, so there's going to be MnDOT staff and contracted staff that will be in contact with the property owners.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, we had quite the hearings on this during the Rock 52 process when we were having to move very quickly on some issues at the time. I think we've kind of learned from that experience, if I'm not mistaken. Things have been working a little more smoothly lately, have they? Is that a fair assessment, Mr. Barnes?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Good. Thanks. Any other questions for these folks? Members, Mr. Peterson, does that conclude your presentation on the MnDOT budget at the moment?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that is the final piece of our budget presentation.
Well, okay. Just because the clock says we have till 2:15, I suppose we don't have to stay till 2:15. But, members, just a couple of housekeeping things here before we go. Mr. Peterson and folks, thank you for your presentation. And, members, again, you can take this home and study it if you wish. You can leave it with your packets, and we'll keep it in your packet for further discussion. We'll be talking more about this. We have, of course, committee deadlines, I think, March 25th, the finance bill is to be out of this committee. So here over the next couple of weeks, we'll be moving rather intensely as we kind of put these things together. This will be the first time I've personally been responsible for starting the process with you all, and staff has been. That would be Ms. Sewers and Mr. Burris have been so patient in working with me on how to tee this thing up. And we'll be having a couple committee meetings where we'll be marking up a bill as we move forward. In the meantime, folks, on Friday, March 11th, this is kind of a field trip, and I hope it's a nicer day than today. We are into March. Chart Industries down in New Prague has asked several times if we would come down and see their facility. They're working with liquefying natural gas for bus and long-haul truck applications. And they're doing it without, this is kind of cool, they're doing it without asking us for any particular mandate. They are working with EPA, which seems to be the stick in the mud that has some regulatory authority to allow it to happen, but they're pretty excited about a Minnesota-grown project that I think you might find kind of cool to look at. If you would like to go on Friday, March the 11th, please let Mark, the committee administrator, know. We'll be teeing this up. This is completely on your own, just for your own edification. If you're interested in seeing how it would apply to local transit and to over-the-road trucks, they would like to show that off. I see here we're planning on leaving the Capitol at 8 a.m., returning about noon or 1 o'clock. I think the committee has enough money. We might be able to stop at White Castle and treat you all to lunch if your stomach can handle that. And Mr. Nisley, did we figure out whether they're allowed to come and get us in that cool natural gas-powered bus, or is that a violation of campaign practices?
I think they can. They don't have lobbyists.
Oh, they don't lobby us for anything. They can come and get us in their bus if they can make that work. So this might be kind of a fun trip. So mention or sign up with Representative Committee Administrator Nisley, if you'd like to do that. Other than that, members, Wednesday, Mr. Nisley, remind us who was talking to us on Wednesday. Oh, right, MnDOT, yes. I guess MnDOT knows, Mr. Peterson, you know you're coming back on Wednesday. We'll drill down a little deeper in the detail in some of this and have a chat about some of those things. Members, anything else you want to talk about? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is Mr. Nisley going to send out an email so that, because my memory sometimes is short.
Yeah, yours too, huh? Yeah, we'll do the email thing, so. Let's see. Anything else? Seeing none, members will declare us adjourned. We'll see you Wednesday.